Hey, you got a crazy family?
We want to hear all about it.
Got a brand new podcast. It's called My Crazy Family.
And boy, we know there are some stories out there, and sometimes it just makes you feel better to get it off your chest or to hear about somebody else's crazy family. It lets you know that maybe yours isn't as nuts as you thought.
Yeah, the bar gets set pretty damn high. Trust me. You can call in your stories right now at 1-833-CRAY-FAM. That's 1-833-CRAY, C-R-A-Y, F-A-M, or write in your story at the website crazyfampod.com. That's crazyfampod.com.
And by the way, you don't have to use your real name. It's totally okay if you just want to make up names, but you just need to get rid of this information. We are your place.
You're not going to believe what you will hear on this podcast and the insane things that some families have put their loved ones through. 1-833-CRAY-FAM or write in at crazyfampod.com.
Stay tuned for our official launch date.
And start getting us those stories right now. crazyfampod.com.
My.
My.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Family.
Family.
My.
Crazy.
Family.
Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is being brought to you by Healthy Wage. Cash in on your weight loss today through my special link, and you'll have an extra $40 added to your prize. Visit healthywage.com/ghost and start winning for losing.
Today on another chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, what happens when the dead revisit the living long after their tragic deaths? How do the living react? And what message did the spirits of the past bring? That story, and more freaky as Hell Shizzle, today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of the show. New episodes all throughout the week. And if you like the show and you'd like to have the show with no ads, just binge away and commercial free. Also, you get a bonus episode of the show every week exclusively for you as a supporting member of being an EPP, an extra podcast person. Get that, the full archive, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. It's only $5 a month. Sign up, ghostpodcast.com or at patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. Or search Real Ghost Stories Online on the Patreon app. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode. What's going on?
Well, the question is, what's going on with you, Tony?
Oh, jet lag? That's what's going on with me.
Oh, just got back from Hawaii.
Yes. Oh, the pains of I know, feel horrible for me.
I was really excited for you.
Yeah, I know.
You needed a getaway, and I just thought it looked like so much fun.
It was. We had a really good trip. It was nice to just not think about anything, other than just, I'm at a beach with my girlfriend and our families, and we're just enjoying the water. We're enjoying the smells, the sights.
The only real thing you have to worry about is sunscreen.
Which, yes, and that I did. I kept up, but I still got burned. Harper got burned too.
She's a little redhead.
I know, and I was vigilant on it, but it's still, we got burned a bit. But it was such an amazing experience. I've never been there. The first time when we were driving around, I said this. It looks like Jurassic Park and Avatar is the way I described it. And it's funny, as the trip progressed, we started learning about Jurassic Park was filmed there. Avatar was filmed there. Indiana Jones was filmed there. And then the list goes on and on. So all these things that we kind of recognize as like these mythical places, I thought a lot of them were CGI. They're not. It's an island. It's called Kauai. And I was blown away. We did a helicopter tour on the final day and literally flew over the Jurassic Park gates because they left them there on the island in this really remote part. And then into this canyon with the waterfall. It was amazing. I have no way to describe it. But on my list now, I think of places down the road when kids are grown maybe I'll be doing the podcast from there someday.
I'm telling you, because I text you about something the other day. I don't remember what it was. And I'm like, I don't remember. And then you sent me back a picture, like my current view.
Yes.
And it was like this amazing photo.
Yeah.
It looked like a postcard.
It was one of the most amazing views I'd ever seen. And that's exactly where I was at that time. And then they just kept getting more amazing. Like, I thought that was amazing. And then like an hour later, I saw one that beat that. And then it's like, these are like the best views I've ever seen. I don't know how it gets, but then like 10 minutes later, there's another one. And yeah. And then the helicopter thing was, have you done Soarin' at Disney, either in California or at Epcot? That's a neat ride. It makes you feel like you're flying above the world in these really unique places. That's what the helicopter was like, but it was like going through Avatar.
Oh, that's crazy.
And
now, was there a lot of people, tourists everywhere?
You know, this island wasn't that busy, honestly. I mean, there were people, but it wasn't crazy. Like the beaches that we went to, there was like maybe three people at.
I know, the pictures I saw, it wasn't like there was anybody around.
There wasn't in many cases. Some beaches were busy, some were not. That was great. The tide was scary. At one time, I was out there with, Harper and, my girlfriend's daughter, and they were out swimming, and I was noticing they were getting out a little bit too far, and I wanted to go and like, hey, come on back. So I walked in the water a little ways and I could barely stand, and I wasn't even deep, but the pull was so strong. So they got back, up to closer to shore. And I go and sit back down, and this guy who's a local comes over and goes, you see those boats right out there? Yeah. And they, like, I noticed them. I hadn't before. They were like search and rescue boats. And he said, two people went missing here last night because of this tide. He's like, you don't want your kids playing in there right now.
Oh, wow.
So we left that beach. And I, at one point too, at a different beach, I was out, and I had goggles. And I was trying to pick up a sea urchin, which I saw in the bottom of the ocean. And it was like, you can't, because it's all spiky. You can. You just got to be careful. Just trying to do that. And I found a bunch of them, and I was just diving down, and then I kept missing it, or I couldn't get it. And I came back up, go back down, and I don't see them anymore. I'm like, where do they all go? Like, they don't move. And I realized, oh, I got pulled back, and I didn't realize how far back I was. So then I'm about 80% with my arm right now. So I'm start trying to swim back, and it's hard. It is hard to swim back with that tide. And I get closer in, and I'm getting there, but I'm just getting tired. I'm standing, I'm bobbing up and down standing, and Harp's not that far, and she's got a boogie board. She's like, you okay, Dad? And she swims over to me on the board. Here, just grab this. Okay, let's just ride the waves together. So little Harper to the rescue there.
I got caught in a kayak once in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my friend and I, we were both in the same kayak. And it was really hard because we would go out, we'd get a wave and come back in, and then it would just pull us right back out.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get up there. And finally, I was like, okay, we have to really focus on this. We have to be really in sync and try really hard.
Mm-hmm.
My arms are just jello by the time we got back.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but you got to watch out for that.
Yeah, it was scary. I mean, I've done the ocean before, but I've never, this is my first time out there and in the Pacific. And it was some of the strongest, and it's deceiving because right at first it doesn't seem that bad, and then all of a sudden it was like a different body of water the way it felt. And yeah, but it was, I mean, other than that, I mean, we kind of learned it, and we got some other beaches that we were totally safe with, but it was just beautiful, and it was a great trip. And
I'm so glad you met.
I am too. Just so happy with all that in that part of my life. I know people ask about that sometimes, and you're doing okay with this and that after my last handful of years, and yes, I can confidently say I am very happy, and things have turned around.
I can confidently say that as well. You are very happy.
Things are on a good path over there for Harper, myself, and everybody else. So, okay, quick, I want to thank our supporter today. I love these guys. It is Healthy Wage. Have you heard of this? You can win money for losing weight. If you need a little motivation, this would be the place to start. Would you like to lose 30, 50 to 100 pounds or more? Healthy Wage lets you bet on your weight loss and pays you up to $10,000. There's nothing more motivating than real cash prizes. I love this idea. Tessa won over $5,000 for losing 87 pounds. Christian won over $2,400 for losing 60 pounds. Use the free prize calculator to find your prize. Super fun. The bigger your goal, the bigger your prize. Guaranteed real cash prizes when you hit your goal. It's been featured on Good Morning America, The Today Show. Healthy Wage has paid out over $50 million with lots of winners every single day. You could be one of them. You want to lose some weight and you want a little incentive behind it, which that usually, you know, a little carrot on a stick out there. Cash in on your weight loss today through my special link and you'll have an extra $40 added to your prize. Visit healthywage.com/ghost. That's healthywage.com/ghost. Start winning for losing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first caller of the day. As soon as I get it pulled up over here. Hi, let's hear your real ghost story.
Hi, Tony. This is Jill. I've called in. It's been years. It's been a really long time, but I've called in before. But anyway, I had a really interesting experience that I wanted to share, and I'm not sure it's necessarily a ghost experience. It was just a very strange experience with sleep paralysis, which I've had before. It's not the first time I've experienced that. And each time I've had that before, you know, it's scary. And there's been on the occasion that I've seen some of the typical things people see, like the shadowy creatures. And but it's never been too bad. It's more of just been the panic of not being able to wake myself up. But this time, so this was about 2 weeks ago. I live in Kentucky and my boyfriend lives in San Diego. So he was here visiting and the day he left, he had a really, really early flight back. So I took him to the airport at like 4 o'clock in the morning and then I came home and waited for him to board his flight to make sure he didn't need me to come get him if it got canceled or whatever. So I stayed awake till about six. And then once he boarded, I went ahead and went back to sleep. And first I had a regular dream, but in that dream, I realized that I was dreaming and it was raining in this dream. And I remember leaning out to feel the rain. And that's kind of what triggered me, like, oh, this is a dream. I don't know. It just clicked in my head. So once that happened, I was, you know, when you have a dream, typically I feel like you're always looking at yourself. At least I am. You can always see yourself when you're dreaming, like you're hovering above yourself almost. But this dream, I was looking through my eyes. I could see everything just as it was. And I was in my bathroom and I have this very bright pink bathroom and I could see my big bright pink walls. And I looked over and I saw my boyfriend's soap that he had left in the shower. And I went over and picked it up to smell it because I was missing him. And I still realized I was in a dream. I knew this wasn't real, but it also felt real, if that makes sense. But anyway, I turned around and I saw him standing in the doorway and I thought, I knew it was him. It didn't look like him. Actually, the more I reflect on it, it definitely was not him. But in my head, it was him. And I remember in my head saying, like, oh, you came back. And I went over and I kissed him. And we opened the bathroom door and we went out into the hallway. And he gave me this really, really big hug. And I can remember saying, oh my gosh, just like you're here. Like I can feel your arms wrapped around me. I can feel the pressure. Like it was so real. I could feel every bit of it. And then he picked me up just gently, just enough to like lift me off of my feet. And he carried me into my bedroom and pulled back the covers and started pushing me down into the covers, like tucking me back into bed. When all of a sudden I realized I was having sleep paralysis because I woke up at that point, like really woke up. My brain was awake. My body was not. I couldn't move. And, but I could see things. And instead of seeing him, though, I saw a woman's slender hand, definitely a woman's, and she had a black and white sleeve on. I can remember that. So once I saw that, I freaked out, and I tried my hardest to roll out of the sleep paralysis, and I did, but only from a very brief moment. I kind of slipped right back into it. And then I felt somebody, I could hear and feel the covers rustle next to me as if somebody was getting in the bed. And then I heard my water running out in my kitchen. And I thought to myself, well, maybe my mom's here because she had my son. I have a little boy and she was watching him overnight for me. So I thought, well, maybe she brought him back. But then I quickly realized that was not the case. So I snapped out of the sleep paralysis again and finally woke up for good. Nobody was at my house. Nobody had been at my house. So it was just a very interesting experience that I would love to hear your thoughts on and just see what you think. I don't know if to think if it's paranormal or not, but also the more I reflected back on the person I thought was my boyfriend, the thing I thought was my boyfriend, it had no hair and it had no eyebrows, both of which he certainly has. He has very dark hair, very dark features. This was a very pale, bald, eyebrowless creature thing. It was, the more I think back on it, the more I kind of get freaked out. So, yeah, just interested to hear your guys' thoughts. I have a lot of catching up to do. I haven't listened in a while, so I'm probably going to go ahead and binge the show now that I've talked about this, and I hope to hear it on an episode so I can hear what you guys think. All right, thank you. Bye.
She has a fetish for aliens. That's the...
obviously, that's what that was all about.
That's what that's all about. Listen to what your brain is telling you and find yourself a nice alien.
A nice alien that treats you well.
Exactly. A nice one. Yes. Don't judge them because they don't have eyebrows.
Right. Because the thing is that we're always judging people on their looks. Find yourself a nice alien and just go with that. And if he doesn't have eyebrows, that's okay.
It's okay. It's okay. Even if his, you know, when he opens his mouth, like another like entity comes out, or like a mini version of himself that also has hands and teeth, really sharp teeth, but no eyebrows. It's okay. It's okay.
Don't judge because he's an alien.
And it's his tongue. And then that one does the same thing. I know it's creepy and scary and sharp, but don't judge. Got it?
Don't judge.
Don't judge.
Because you don't know what that alien's been through.
You don't. You've never walked a mile in its foot.
The one.
It's one. It hops.
That it hops on.
It hops on. You've never done that. Never done that. And it's 3.5 toes. So... yeah, on to the next story.
Wait. But, so you can't. So like, I think the sleep paralysis dreams are strange. And I think because I've had them, you've had them, and I've had some weird shit happen. I don't know that it's paranormal. I think there are times that it's like I have literally woken up and it's like there is something horrific standing in the room, and if I open my eyes, I'll see it. Like, I have definitely, that's happened to me. But I've also had some sleep paralysis dreams where, you know, like someone came to me, like there was this whole thing, like what she was describing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's weird that her boyfriend wouldn't have looked like her boyfriend. But she felt his presence. Like, it wasn't like she was scared of him. She felt like it was him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what alien, I don't know. But I don't know that's a paranormal situation, but at the same time, could be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think it could be. It's interesting because some of those dreams like that, when I've talked about these on the air, where it's like I'm in a different place, I'm with different people, but I know everybody. And then I wake up, I'm like, I have no idea who those people are. But in the dream, like I know everybody, I know everybody's past. I mean, just like you would in normal life, like it's a whole other realm. Yeah. And I know who they are. I know how I'm related to them or why I'm a friend with them. And there's a history with every single person that I'm interacting with. And I know my way around the geography of where I'm at. And I have memories at different places. It's like real life, but
it's like past life sort of dreams. That,
I don't know, but because it seems very much present. Things don't necessarily, they don't feel like they're from another time at all. That's what, I mean, everybody's like, it's past life. I don't think so. I mean, it's modern day in these dreams.
I have definitely had one that was a past life sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really crazy.
What happened?
It was so weird. This is a really weird dream, but it was really intense and I've never forgotten it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a prostitute.
And wow.
I lived in a really small town, like dirt road. Like it was almost like a you know, two-story kind of old-timey town like Kansas,
mm-hmm.
you know, like in the tens, you know, like the early 1900s. And I lived upstairs. And at the beginning of the dream, I was with this baby, and it was my baby. And I loved, like, the feeling I had for this baby was intense. I've never had a child.
Yeah.
And I'm breastfeeding the child, which is really weird because mm-hmm. I've never done that. And like this love that I had was something that I have never felt.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how the dream starts. And I'm just so in love with this baby and fascinated by it, sitting in this chair. And it's really hot because there's no air conditioning. Windows are open and you can hear like stuff outside.
Mm-hmm.
Then I hear these footsteps coming up the stairs. And I got this really sinking feeling because I knew I was going to have to put down the baby and sleep with that guy.
And, wow.
And I woke myself up because that part was terrifying to me. But it was the weirdest dream because I'm like, that shit happened.
Now,
that's how I felt.
Do you think it was a past life of you, or do you think it was some sort of entity that was there at that moment giving you that information of their life?
Honest to God, I felt like it was me.
Okay.
Because whoever I was, I didn't look like me. Because, mm-hmm. oh, that's another part. That I was sitting, at one point, I was brushing my hair, and it was really long.
Mm-hmm.
And I was brushing my hair. I've never had really long hair.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really long, and I was really slowly just brushing my hair. But it was me. It was my hair, but that couldn't have been me. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's not me. But it was definitely me, and it was my baby. And it was very strange. So I don't know. I think, you know, dreams are little portals to other things. Like, you know, you can have premonitions in dreams. You can have visits in dreams. So I don't know what, like, her dream was exactly, because it seems a little bit of pretty intense just for a sleep paralysis sort of dream. It was very specific.
Mm-hmm. I know you're like Scott Bakula in your experience there.
Yeah, what was the show that he was on?
The theme. So yeah.
And you know what's weird about this is but, I honest to God don't think I ever saw Quantum Leap.
You never watched Quantum Leap?
I recognize that guy's name, but I don't remember ever watching that show.
Oh, it's a great show back in the day. I don't know if I could watch. I don't know. I haven't really tried rewatching it these days. But yeah, Quantum Leap, Scott.
I'm sure I was busy doing, you know, important things but at that time in my life.
The difference with that at that point is when Scott Bakula would be in the Quantum Leap and be in a different character, he didn't know anything about the person. There was no prior knowledge or emotion or feeling connected with the person. He had to figure out how to be like that person and not get kind of caught. But what you're talking about, what I'm talking about, and the caller too, is that these you have all the emotions, you have all the feelings, and it's just there and feels as normal as any day. But where are they coming from for these people that you really don't know?
And what I think is interesting is that she felt that was her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like he held her and he mm-hmm. was tucking her in like that's her boyfriend. And then she's like, it's not. The other thing I thought that I'm going to see if I can pay attention to this because I have very bizarro dreams. But she said that she kind of always hovers above herself. Like she doesn't, it's not like her. It's like she's watching her or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I ever hover over myself.
Never.
I think I go through dreams just like it's me.
I do. There's no watching me like in a...
Yeah, I don't. Because when she said that, like it was totally normal to do that. And I thought, I don't think I've ever done that.
And I wonder if that's one of those things where people think things are totally normal until you start talking about it and you go, mm-hmm. oh, not everybody dreams like that. Yeah.
Because maybe it's a 50-50 thing. There are people right now going, what? They actually feel like it's them? Because it's weird, because sometimes, like, I am a different person in my dream. Like, I have had dreams where I'm, like, playing the part of somebody else.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense. But, like, that dream I had where I had the baby and stuff, like, it was me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't Carol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the difference. Like, it was 100% me.
But, and you knew that you knew you.
And I knew it was my child.
Yeah.
And obviously I was a single mom.
Well, it's interesting. That does feel like past life type thing, or mm-hmm. or something, just downloading information and then you're feeling, you know, all the experiences yeah. of it. And
it wasn't like some weird sex dream. Like, yeah. I don't think the guy didn't come up the stairs. I don't even remember ever seeing the guy in my dream. Yeah. I just remember he's coming up the stairs and I know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And it was this sinking feeling like that was the only thing I could do.
Yeah.
Because I had this baby.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really sad. There's a lot of women going through situations today.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
I've got this baby and I don't know how to raise it.
Yeah. It's interesting how that all functions. Let's go to another call. 855-853-4802. Hi.
Another encounter that I had one time. We were walking around. I was with my mom and I was like, again, I was younger. And I was walking with my mom and there were like a homeless person that was begging for money for my mom. And in those countries, they follow you if you look a certain way. And she kept following, and I was like, okay, whatever. And like, my mom was like, okay, like, just give her, like, let me give her some money so she can go away. And those beggars, like, oh my God, I hope you live a wonderful life. Oh my God, like this, like they just say all kind of stuff so he would pay, like, give them money. And I remember standing there, me and my mom and my sister, we were like, you know, walking around and I, like, all of a sudden there was like a burst of an air bubble or something like that. And I started like hearing really, really mean things with that lady's voice, saying it to my mom. I was looking at my mom while she was getting the money out of her purse, and I was like, why is she giving us to give her money while she's saying like really horrible things? Like, she was saying like, I hope you die, I hope you're rare, and blah blah blah, like things like really, really cruel thing. And I'm just looking at her, I'm like, but I couldn't talk. I just could not talk, and I was just looking at my mom, and I was looking at that lady, and then she gave me a look like, as if like, you can hear my inside thoughts. And so like, my mom pulled me, like, she gave her the money, and then like, I was just standing there with like, just couldn't, like, I was just hearing her say really, really weird things, the beggar. And my mom just pulled me, and I just like kind of like woke up and stepped out of it, and I was like, mom, why did you give her money? She was saying really mean things. She was like, what? I was like, you didn't hear her say? She's like, what are you talking about? Like, she never heard any of that. And I just felt like I was like hearing her inside thoughts. And that always like happens with me. Like, for example, the other day, my husband walked in when he was talking to his in-law, and they were telling him that his brother was sick and a certain thing, like the ailment was a certain thing. And he walked in, and he was just talking on the phone, and I was like, oh, is that so-and-so telling you that your brother has such ailment? And he's like, what? I was like, isn't it? And he's like, yeah. And he was like, how did you know? And he was even talking to her in another room, and like the whole thing. And I just like, the thing is like, I'm not calling myself a psychic or anything. It's just that sometimes it's like, when you know, it's kind of like, it's not that you've been told or anything, you just know. Like, I just knew that the conversation on that phone call is that. And it was just like, I knew it. I don't know how I knew it, when or what happened, but I just knew it. Like, I just knew that. Something like, it's a lot of weird encounters. What else? I know I'm missing something. When I was like 7 or 8, they brought in, we had a burglary, and they brought in like, it's more like a religious figure. I don't know how to describe it. But I'm not sure how much you know, like, you know about things over there. But so they brought in a religious like person, like kind of thing, and he was doing hypnotism to see who the burglar was and how the entry happened and how everything was happened. And they kept trying my cousins and everything, and they just couldn't see anything. And it was happening again in a separate room and everything. I just walked in into that room, and I was like, I didn't even know what was going on. And that person was like, I need him. And so I was like, what is going on? I got like really, really scared. And my mom just said, just sit there. And they put a blindfold on me and he started like reading things and stuff. And I don't remember anything, but they said that I told them how the entry happened and how who was helping him. And it turns out it was the maid that was helping him. And they actually, like, I even supposedly told them how he stepped on a water faucet when he was coming down the fence, so he can like buffer his jump kind of thing, you know, like you step on something, and how the water opened up and there was like drips and everything. And they literally captured that person. And it turns out it was the maid that we had, it was somebody related to her, and she just confessed to everything. Again, I don't remember saying all this thing, but that's what they said I told them that happened while I was like hypnotized or something like that. I don't want to bore you with like a lot of like stories and stuff, but I've never really talked about it with anyone or anything. I mean, I have said like, hey, this to like my husband or my mom or stuff like that, but I've never really talked about like all of the things that happened or what it means or what it is. And like, I know that there are a lot of people that don't believe like, oh, okay, when you die, or there is no other part of life, or there is nothing, like scientifically speaking and stuff. And I just like it is really, really true. Like, it's not like those things are not just it's not like not real. It is like everything. I think that everything like that is real. And I just wanted to share my like story, and I wanted to understand a little bit more about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we missed like the very beginning of that, because I don't know where he was talking about, or did I miss that? Like, he was in a different country.
I think he kind of jumped into the story, and I don't know if it's another country or if it was the religious practice from another country. He didn't give us a setting for the story.
It was fascinating. It's like he has this amazing superpower.
Mm-hmm.
That's like something you could do. It would be weird. It would make me nervous, because it was like sometimes you really don't want to know what somebody's thinking.
Yeah. And you don't want them to know what you're thinking either. Like, if you're mad at somebody, like exactly how he described it, of the woman was giving the other person money, and the whole time in their head, they're like, screw you, I hate you, burn in hell, and all of that. And that seems like a logical thing that some people may be thinking in their minds if they feel they're, you know, having to give money for something that they don't feel is right or just or whatever. To have that ability, that's scary.
Well, and then for him to be able to, the woman needing money on the street, that she's thinking all these horrible things, like somebody might, like, you know, when you go to the convenience store and there's always people outside that won't ask you for money on the way in.
Yeah.
That they ask you for money on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
That's when in their head, they're like, yeah, asshole.
Exactly.
You know, that's what they're thinking.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to freak somebody out someday and be like, I heard that. And they're like, what?
Really? Really? Yeah. You want to have that conversation? But it kind of, I've thought that before, because I'm not saying I never give money to homeless people, because I do, but it's more like the people who I think are just going to go use it to buy drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm a little uncomfortable with that, because it's like, I work hard.
I think gift cards are a good idea.
but I'll buy them food anytime they ask, anytime.
Okay. Yep.
But I could see that's what people are thinking.
Yeah.
Like, just give me, what, really? You're just giving me a dollar? And then on the outside, they're like, oh, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting to me because that made sense.
It did. No, it really did.
I don't know. It's a very interesting story. I haven't heard one quite like that before.
It's,
but it's not necessarily paranormal, as it is a superpower.
That would be paranormal. Maybe not super. Well, it's supernatural. Yeah. It could go into either category, quite honestly. Thank you for sharing that. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. We greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.